Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Thanks for being with us tonight. And this is the first time I've done a pre-recorded show. Typically we're on live, but as you're listening to me, I will just be getting home from having had my hip replaced. So thought maybe I wouldn't be at the top of my game and we should record a show. And my guest is the wonderful and amazing Brad Scott from Australia. And we're going to have a really good time talking to him. But first, our metaphysical moment. And although I can't tell you what my experience will have been in surgery, because obviously this is a couple of weeks before surgery that I'm recording this, it's very interesting going to a hospital to have something major like this done when you have the perspective on how life works that I have, the perspective of metaphysics, the perspective of shamanic practice. It's kind of like going to the temple of a religion that's not my religion. They have their beliefs, they have their rituals, they have their people that carry out the rituals, and it's got to be done their way in their temple. And I'm really glad that I can go there and that they can do this for me, because there are some things that they do really well, and this is going to make a big difference. But there are a number of things that I've been able to both negotiate with the surgeon and things that I'm going to do to support myself that I think most people wouldn't particularly think of. One of those is that my companions, the people who are going to be sitting in the waiting room, are going to be two shamans. And they will do for me what I typically do for other people. They'll clear the hospital and the surgical suite, make sure that there are no entities, no problems, nothing left over from all the things that have been done before. Because while a hospital is very antiseptic on the physical, biological plane, they tend to be a little bit less than tidy on the spiritual plane, because all the emotions, all the traumas of everyone who has been in that operating room, including the staff and all their emotions from what they do, is still there. And if anybody died there, typically people that die under anesthesia are pretty confused, and they may still be there. And there are lots of ghosts in hospitals trying to figure out what happened. So I want to make sure that all that stuff is handled. I want to make sure that my energy is taken care of, that I'm protected and grounded, because there are certainly negative energies in the world, and since I clean them up, they don't like me very much. So being vulnerable is a time when I want to make sure that there's somebody protecting me, taking care of me, making sure that nothing happens that's going to cause problems. And then afterwards, I negotiated with the surgeon that I can take homeopathic remedies, which is totally out of the model of Western medicine in most hospitals, but will make a huge difference in terms of pain relief, bruising, swelling, all the things that typically would require large doses of medicines that aren't very good for you. As soon as I start taking the homeopathics, my need for all of that is going to be dramatically reduced, and the healing will be accelerated. In addition, the people who are going to be with me will do energy work and hands-on healing on me as soon as they're allowed in the room. So my guess is at that two-week visit with when the surgeon checks you out to see how you're doing, he's probably going to be surprised, because that's happened before when I've been injured and the doctors say, oh, it's going to take however many weeks they think it's going to take. And typically I heal much faster than that, because their estimates are based on people that are doing only the things that they tell them, using only the medications and processes that they suggest. And if you support your body in other ways, you can heal much more quickly than that. So this is a little adventure that I'll get to share with you. If I have a way for people to follow me, well, one way to follow me would be on Facebook. So if you find me on Facebook as David Franklin Farkas, I'll be posting on Facebook. I'll be tweeting and doing all of that so you can kind of get a play-by-play of how I'm doing. So thank you for all your good wishes. Thank you for your support. And by the time you hear this, it will all be done. So that's today's metaphysical moment. Not quite our usual fare, but we also have a guest who is not quite our usual fare. Brad Scott is a paranormal investigator from Australia, and I love your work, man.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it, mate.
Well, Brad, you've got a TV show, and most paranormal TV shows, I sit in my living room by myself, screaming at the TV. They just do things that I consider not only disrespectful but dangerous. So yep. When I saw, and I know you understand, we've had the conversation, but I know from watching your show, the way that you work, and your show is a group of men. I don't know if you have any women on your team. I didn't notice.
We have one. We have a lovely lady by the name of Anna. She sort of manages Ghost Hunters Australia. Because I'm really too lazy to do it myself, because I'm tied up with all this other stuff I'm doing at the moment. We have someone who manages the group, but I sort of founded it and so forth. And from there, that's where Paranormal Mysteries sort of started.
Right. And what I love about your show is it's a group of very experienced investigators just doing what they do, having a conversation about what they do and explaining it. No drama, no hype.
Yep.
It's wonderful. It's the real deal.
Well, thank you. Cheers. Yeah, we like to keep it sort of, well, the thing is, mate, us Australians, we're sort of very laid back in our approach and how we do things anyway. And it's sort of like you can't sort of dramatize something that's really not meant to be dramatized, if you know what I mean. You just go in as a very normal environment, very normal clientele, whatever, do the investigation as you would usually do it without cameras there, and just take it from there and see what happens. You know, sometimes we don't get evidence, sometimes we do, but that's what it's mainly about, is what actually does happen. There's no scripts, there's just as we do it, fly on the wall stuff.
Right, which is wonderful, because most of the shows, not all, but most of the shows here in the States are reality TV, and they're about getting people excited and freaked out. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing about ghosts, when I talk about ghosts, is putting it into context that makes it make sense so they're not creepy anymore.
That's right.
You know, most of the shows, other than yours, I haven't seen many others that are as straightforward as yours. Most of the shows are just trying to get people all freaked out.
Well, I mean, yeah, look, that is part of the – I mean, that's probably why it's not on mainstream TV. That's why probably it's sort of done through a web portal, which is an internet TV show, I guess is the best way of putting it. I'd never set out to do the series as a – what's the best way? As a dramatization, if you know what I mean. There's enough of that already out there in normal, everyday life, you know. And most of them paranormal investigators, and they know this themselves, when they go out, they don't jump at every noise, or they don't go running into rooms, you know, voice recorders at the ready and the EMF detectors. You know, they sort of just wander in and go, this is what's happening here, this is what's happening here. And that's the way we tend to do it. We do it as it actually does really happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it works for some people and doesn't work for other people, because, I mean, look, TV is entertainment at the end of the day. I mean, and that's what it's about. I mean, that's where you get your ratings and everything like that else from. And so I'm just quite happy just to do my own thing. And by doing my own thing, I mean, I don't get told what to do, if you know what I mean, because you know yourself, I'm a big lad. I really don't take orders very well. You can ask some excellent bosses on that one. But, yeah, I tend to do things my way, because it's, you know, I'm just happy doing it that way. I don't need to be tied up with any networks or anyone with a name, because it's just not how I work. I'd rather do it the way that I think is best, that suits my personality.
And you've been doing this a long time. How long have you and your crew been doing investigations?
Well, I personally have been doing it for nearly 20 years. I started off back at a small country town in Gladstone, richly in Queensland and central Queensland here, real sort of cow country, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of old historical buildings and stuff like that around there because it's very old. So I sort of started off in me teenage years doing it. This is before and I did it on my own for 15 odd years because it wasn't as popular as it is today because, you know, basically in a nutshell, when I started, mate, the only thing I had to go off was books that I got from the local library on the paranormal where they weren't TV shows. We had two TV channels. That's what I mean. We had very little as far as information. There was no internet. There was nothing. So I used to go to the library and I used to ask for books on this, and they were kind enough to get it in from the city for me to read. So, and that's how I started. But Ghost Hunters Australia has been going since 2006. Before that, I was living in New Zealand for 3 years under a work contract where I actually had NZ Paranormal. Yeah, and that's where I sort of, because I started NZ Paranormal basically because I didn't know anyone. And because I loved the field, I thought, well, I'll start a group and see what happens. And from that, I met some fantastic people and started a great group. And we actually did a little TV series over there. That's how it all started. I did this very basic 25-minute TV show, me running around with a handy cam. That's all we had was a little handy cam, a voice recorder, and that's it. And from that, we did this little TV on a local network. I had to learn how to edit myself. We had no production values whatsoever. You can see that. But because it was so raw and honest, a lot of other stations picked it up, and which really surprised me. So the little program that I did, I only did six episodes. It went viral. It got picked up by internet paranormal groups and all this other stuff. So, you know, and that's how, I guess, Brad Scott got to be where he is now, now with the radio show and everything like that and paranormal mysteries and the articles I write and all the rest of it. I guess that's how it sort of started for me to, yeah, the internet's a beautiful thing, I guess.
Yeah, and your latest, you know, it makes me laugh so much that I don't even know what to call it. Your latest internet radio program is Naked Zombie Paranormal Radio.
Well, do you want to know why I called it Naked Zombie?
Of course.
Okay, this is why I called it Naked Zombie. See, I may be Australian, but I'm pretty smart, if you know what I mean. Okay, what's the two biggest things that people look for on the internet? Naked pictures.
Uh-huh.
And zombies, if they like the paranormal, so naked zombies. So when they Google in naked or zombies, they're going to get my show. So, and because, I mean, I'm not silly. Yeah, I mean, that's, and look, no, but really, honestly, Naked Zombie was an idea that I've had turning around for some time. I actually do a lot of freelance, like write articles, journalists, voiceover work and stuff like that. So, and I had a lot of free time on my hands because I do basically work for myself now. And so I thought, so I'm going to start up my own radio show again. I had one in New Zealand that was run on a proper radio station, but there was too many controlling factors for me. You know, and it was just because of the way it was in that station, not saying all of them like that, it was just this one. So I thought, no, that's it. Now I'm going to go out on my own. So Naked Zombie was born. Because I've got a pretty good reputation within the field, I have had for quite some time. I'm getting some fantastic guests. Like, I've had you on my show, David. You're one of the first guests I had on Naked Zombie, and it went off like a frog in a sock, mate. It was absolutely brilliant. And from there, I'm interviewing, like, as soon as I finish this program, I've got another interview to do. So with guests for my show, and I'm getting these fantastic people from all over the world who come in on the show. And people, the response from people has been mind-blowing. I'm getting people in China. China's my second biggest audience. I mean, really? Who would have thought? You know, it's in Japan. And because I'm sort of based in the Australasia region, I think it has a lot to do with it. Because I'm in Australia and we have a lot of the Asian countries that surround us, part of our sort of area, down the southern hemisphere and that. A lot of Asian countries have picked up the show and they're just going mad over it. I think I average about three marriage proposals a day now from people overseas. I don't know why. I'm not eye candy by any means, but there's this really stupid photo of me on the main page for Naked Zombie Paranormal Radar, but this real dumb expression on my face. But for some reason, people just think it's great for some reason. And it's just great. You know, the show's been a lot of fun. I've met some fantastic people. I get a lot of emails, as you would do yourself, David, being the person you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it a real eye-open experience that a simple idea has grown into such a big, big thing now. So it's been great.
Yeah, look, you obviously you always have fun.
I always have fun in what I do. That's the thing. You've got to have fun no matter what you do in life. And this, I'm a firm believer of this. If you don't enjoy what you do, don't do it. And I love talking to people. This is my thing. I love talking to people, listening to people, getting ideas out there and communicating. And that's why I guess I've always been very good in the field, because I do take the time to listen. And I'm talking a lot at the moment, but I do take the time to good radio hosts. They know how to talk. That's the key point to sort of remind everyone on that. You've got to be able to communicate and talk and get ideas and get information out of people at the same time. So, yeah, look, whatever happens to the radio show in the future, whether it gets picked up by a proper network or someone comes along and offers me a bucket load of money to actually get naked on radio, then I'll probably look at it. I threw you, that's annoying.
It's one of the advantages to radio. No one knows you're in your underwear, right?
you should see what I'm wearing at the moment. I've literally got I've got a dirty old pair of socks on, a pair of old jeans and a crappy old T-shirt. So, hey, I'm comfortable. That's the main thing.
I hear you.
You don't have to get up.
I'm not going to tell you what I'm wearing.
We're going down that road again, aren't we?
I told you, no naked zombies on this show. It's an American show. You know, we can't tolerate nudity.
I'm going to try you every week. We love getting our kid off.
So one of the things that's an ongoing conversation that I have about the whole paranormal field is getting the investigation data is wonderful, that we can get scientific data and help people out. And frequently, what you can tell people is, yeah, there's something going on here. Good luck with that.
Yeah. And basically, that happens 99% of the time.
Right. So if the group doesn't have somebody with another level of skill, with a level of spiritual skills, who can address that, pretty much what you do for people is you can confirm for them that they're not crazy, that something is going on, but not necessarily give them a solution. And we've talked a little bit about the fact that you actually have some of those skills, although you haven't talked about it a whole lot.
No, I'm sort of a bit sort of, you know what I'm like, mate. I'm sort of very, I'll break it down in a nutshell. The paranormal has been running in my family tree since I think it's about the 1500s, 1400s, 1500s. The family originally came over from Ireland, Scotland, last name of Scott, what do you expect, eh? Yeah, and we're the type of people that were always blueing. Once we conquered one country, we would then fight amongst ourselves, so it was pretty obvious what was going to happen. So after nearly wiping ourselves out, this is going back a long time ago, but we immigrated to Australia. But what also happened was that one side of my family got with the Indigenous population, and that's the side that I'm also from, which is the Aboriginal Australians heritage side of it. And their cultural standards are totally different to European, because they do place a lot of emphasis on the dream time and stuff like that. Now, from that, you look at people like my grandmother, who was one of Australia's leading psychics of her day. I mean, she had people, this is before anything electronic. I mean, we're talking about the basic phone. People would come from all over Australia just to see her now. And she wouldn't charge. She would just like have people come in and stuff like that and talk to them and explain things. But she was so freaky. She used to actually answer the Trivial Pursuit questions before they were read. This is what she was like. And she used to annoy people no end. because they'd look at the card, she'd go, oh, yes, such and such, that would be yada, yada, yada. And that would just frustrate people, so no one would play with her anymore. And she was the type of woman that when she was in hospital in her later years, she would actually steal the doilies from the lady next door to her who was knitting them and claiming it as her own because she had that sort of sense of humour. And she would have this old duck next to her so confused that, no, no, I actually did it. I don't know what you're talking about. And she'd go, oh, really? Yeah, type thing. So she would mess with people that way. She was a funny lady, big lady, but funny. Not ha-ha funny, more scary funny. But it went through the family tree, and my sister is very good at it. My mother's very good. I'm, unfortunately, to say, I know it's because I call it the curse, believe it or not. I have an issue with what I can do at times because I guess I don't want to know sometimes what people do or how they do things or what their background is, because when I meet somebody for the first time and you do have that flashes of imagery and you know what that person is like, you don't always like what you see, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And then I get an attitude. Being a big guy, I get an attitude very quickly. And I go, yeah, well, that's good, mate, and I walk off. If you know what I mean, even though they may come across as nice as pies, as soon as you get anywhere near them, you go, oh, I don't like you, mate, type thing. And it's more to do with what they've done in the past. And so, but there's other people I've met who go, oh, you've got a beautiful soul about you. You're such a nice, decent, honest person. And I'm naturally drawn to that. But, I mean, and that's where the problem's been for me. But it also has been a benefit in some ways where when I do go and do an investigation, I've got a very good understanding what is there. So if someone is going through a paranormal event, but I know there's nothing there because I don't see it, I don't feel it, I don't hear it, I don't sense it at all. And I know it, and I can break it down as just logical because I found there's pipes under the floorboards that are banging every time there's an air pocket going through and sounds like footsteps coming up the hall. But if I actually see someone walking up the hall that's not meant to be there, then I know that's different. But I've kept that side of it very, very quiet because I don't do anything with it, to be honest. I don't go out there and I don't broadcast what I do. Well, it's out there now, I guess, in a lot of ways, but it's sort of type of thing where, yeah, fine, I do it, but I don't use it, in a nutshell, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, that's basically on that side of it, I guess, is the best way of putting it. It's hard coming out of the paranormal closet, as it were. So, yeah. Well, at least I've got a sense of humor about it.
You know, it is very – there are some very interesting ideas that get kicked around in the paranormal investigation world. There are people yep. who are totally scientific, and anything that smacks of psychic or spiritual, they consider it to not be an investigation.
That's right.
There are other people – which would be more inside my side of it, who feel that the most important thing you can do is get find the ghosts and help them cross over, because that solves yep. the problem. Solves the problem for the ghost, which is the key thing, but it solves the problem for the people that the living that were having this strange phenomena go on. And there's a balance to it, because there are groups that have both going on, and I think it's important to collect the data. And certainly if you see somebody walk across the room on the infrared camera who is not physically in the room, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, it is, and I enjoy that side of it. Don't get me wrong. Look, it's I've seen some pretty cool stuff, and I've had conversations with some pretty cool people, I guess, that are no longer on our normal existence in some ways. And, you know, it's... For me, it was always very hard to – well, it's funny. So you sort of mentioned this. It was hard for me to understand, I guess, that, yeah, okay, this runs through the family, on both sides of the family, and it's quite prevalent and thick and strong. But I was always the one who sort of went – I'd always try and switch it off, because I've always sort of – I've got a brain built like an engineer. I need to know how things work. Mm-hmm. And because I can't work out how I do it, and I've got no idea how I do it, it's like, well, maybe that's not for me to do. So, yeah, and that's the problem with me. I'm so structured in what I do. But, you know, I guess in a lot of ways it's okay. I mean, it has come in handy in a couple of events and stuff like that. I love it when, you meet someone and they claim to be psychic, and I find this hilarious. And I'll just tell you quickly about the story. I was doing Wollaston House, part of the episodes, and there's this lady there, and she's claimed to be psychic, right? And she's going on and on about how she was, and I didn't say anything. I said, oh, yeah, okay, that's great. And, you know, I don't discourage people from it. You know, if they claim, you know, she's going, oh, yeah, there's a presence in here, and it's a such and such. And I'm sort of looking around, because I'm very good at this, I go, really? What's she look like? I said, what, is she pregnant? And I kept adding all this, oh, yeah, she's carrying child and all this. And I'm giggling. There was no one there, if you know what I mean. No one at all. And she got so wrapped up in the information that I was, but see, I was going to say a very naughty word then, I stopped, but I'm like that. You know, it's like, well, if you're misleading people and you are charging people a fee to do this, look, if you can do it and you can do it right and you charge fair enough, that you can do that till the cows come home. I've used your services, mate. You know, you know that, and I think what you do is brilliant, because I can't do that side of it, so I use you for that. When I see people and they claim to be something and I know they're not, I have fun with it. I don't belittle them. I don't take them down. I don't embarrass them in front of people. I just feed them all this false information and see how far they carry it. And then I have a giggle to myself and walk off. So I'm not giving them the option of being put down or anything like that. But within myself, I know, look, there's no one here. But if they overstep the boundary and then they start sort of flashing their credentials around to people who are like sort of going, well, they like psychics in a sense, and they'll pay them stupid amounts of money, and I know they actually can't do it, that's when I'll step in. I'll say, actually, you're absolutely full of rubbish. I'm toning this right down, mind you, because I do speak my mind. I said, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely full of it. Don't even listen to this person, because they can't do it. And then they get this horrid look on their face, and then they go to safe. So I said, no, you can't do it, because I know you can't like this, and I walk off and leave it at that. And but it's only because I don't want to see people getting ripped off. And I really hate people who take advantage of people who are emotionally struggling or emotionally insecure. And unfortunately, that is part of human nature. But I feel like I've got to – and it gets me in trouble constantly. I'm always getting in trouble for it because, I don't know, I'm not the paranormal police at all, but I'm just the type of person that says, if I know something's not right, I've got to say something. And honestly, mate, it has got – I've lost teeth because of my attitude at times. Yeah. Oh, a typical Aussie lad, you know, always getting in trouble when he was younger. Oh, it hasn't gotten much better since I've gotten older either.
Well, you're a pretty imposing presence. I would assume that not many people go up against you anyway, but...
Oh, they do. Surprisingly, it's always the little ones too, and half the time they win too because I'm slow. Smaller guys are usually quicker than me anyway. No, I'm pretty good. Look, I don't go around bullying. No, I'm not a bully. I'm nothing like that at all. I am very imposing to look at because I am such a big guy. But I'm also at the same time very soft in a lot of ways where I'm always smiling. I'm always happy. And no matter how big you are, if you've got a big grin on your face and you walk past someone, they're all going to smile back at you.
Right.
I'm a happy guy, if you know what I mean. I've got no reason to be upset about anything. I have a beautiful family. I have great kids. I have great parents. You know, I don't have much, to be honest. You know, I drive a 20-year-old truck. I don't make any money out of the TV show or the radio show or anything like that. But I'm happy to do it because it makes me happy. So if I'm happy, my family's happy in a sense, you know, and people around me are happy because I'm entertaining them or I'm bringing them something different. And I get more of a kick out of feeling good about myself and making other people feel good than going around being a 6'4", whatever I am, 115 kilo, balls, on some of the mountain and picking on people for the sake of it. Maybe not good enough. I'd rather be a big jolly guy. And treat everyone with kindness, and then you'll be the opposite of what it is. That's why I'm good.
Okay, we're right up against the break here. We'll be back in a few minutes with Brad Scott on Empower Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a
Bear sighting?
Location.
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At 1 second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent
Ranger
wildfires.
Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting?
Location.
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At 1 second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the...
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
We're back with Brad Scott from Australia, wild man that he is, and we sort of got cut off there. So what you were just in the middle of something fascinating. What were you talking about?
I have no idea. You lost me now. No, I'm kidding. Look, I was saying before, I'm a happy guy. You know, like I said, yeah, and, you know, and I guess in a lot of ways, when you're a big bloke and you walk around with a scowl on your face and everything like that, and people are going to be intimidated by you. I don't want people to be intimidated by me. So I smile a hell of a lot, you know, and I just enjoy life. You know, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the time I spend with people and talking to friends like you, mate, and I get a kick out of it. So, yeah, I'm just very happy-go-lucky sort of bloke and just take every day as it comes and see what happens. That's my view on it all. So, yeah, that's about it, really, and that side of it.
Yep. Well, I wanted to get back to the issue of charging for services, which is another one of those interesting conversations that goes around and around the paranormal community. And I totally respect that people are doing it as a service out of the goodness of their heart and because they like doing it. But I get slammed a lot because I make my living doing this. This is my work.
But that's different. I mean, look, like I said before, and I'm a strong believer in this. When I investigate the paranormal, when I go out to someone's home to see if there's anything there, I do not charge them, right? Because that's just me. I don't charge them, and I think as an investigative team, I don't think anyone should be charged for the charged for the services. I've driven across the country to do investigation, not charge the person to do it. But if I was to set up myself as a medium or psychic, and I know I was very good at it, and I was actually offering a service to help people in a way that it's your time and that side of it, yes, I would charge. Because that is also your time, your ability, and I know when I do it, well, I don't do it for people, but when I do it, when I do focus in, it takes a lot out of you. It really does knock you for six. So, and, you know, if I had someone who contacted me personally and said, Brett, I want you to do a reading or something like that, then fine, I would charge them because that's my time away for my family, my way of doing things, yada, yada, yada. I investigate the paranormal because I want to investigate. Big difference, if you know what I mean. If you have an ability to do like you do as clean houses from remote places and stuff like that, then yes, I would pay to use your services. That's how it works. That's the way I think it should work. So people who slam other people for offering a service because they – look, if you're not credible and you can't do it and you charge someone, man, look, that's just not
right, that's a scam.
That's a scam. And then people – unfortunately, people who are emotionally down or depressed or anything that are looking for answers will fork over large sums of money to someone because they think they can do something. To me, that's wrong, and that's what gets my goat up, and that's when I turn from being nice, happy-go-lucky Brad to the big meanie that I could be, and I say my point, and I make my point very clear to people on that, and I'm not scared in doing that, but if you can actually do it, and you actually give that person peace and closure and stuff like that, what you're doing is a great thing. And fine, you should be able to charge for it. I know it's a bit of grey in there, but it's up to the individual person whether they've got morals or not, if you know what I mean. And groups who do charge to investigate the paranormal, you know, I'm sure there are a few out there. That's their choice. You know, I can't tell them not to. Like I said, I'm not the paranormal police. I'm just some guy who lives in another country with a viewpoint. So, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's whether you're morally based or not to do what you do. And that's my view on it.
Well, tell me, you know, because you're in touch with a lot of people doing this work.
Yep.
What do you think the big issues are in the paranormal community at this point? You know, what's...
Well, I think there's still a lot of infighting, I guess, amongst groups where you think by now they'd sort of stop it. There's always, for some reason, look, when the TV shows started coming out, a lot more groups formed within the field. A lot of groups just appeared from nowhere. And fine, if they take it seriously and do the right thing and don't think they're going to get the next TV deal out of it, they're doing it for the right reasons, but if they're thinking they're going to get them famous and become on TV and all the rest of it, then it doesn't always work out that way for them. And they make a lot of noise, if you know what I mean. I mean, I remember in New Zealand when I was living there. I mean, look, unfortunately for me, wherever I go, look, I've been around for a long time. You can Google Brad Scott and the paranormal, and there's pages and pages and pages of articles, stuff that I've written. See, I contribute a lot to the field. I just don't expect to get any attention because it's not what I'm about. I entertain people with the radio show. I educate people with the TV series. I write articles. Yeah, I've been interviewed by Penthouse Australia, and yes, I did keep my clothes on, even though I offered to take it off several times. They weren't interested for some reason, but I was interviewed for a men's magazine, which I found quite interesting. Because I've been around for so long, I guess within my sort of region, I'm quite well known. And so I get a lot of people who contact me saying, Brad, we're starting up a new group, yada, yada, what did you expect? And the first thing I say is, why do you want to start up the paranormal group? Oh, because I think I can get some recognition for what I do and stuff like that. I said, well, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
I investigated personally myself for 15 years as a total unknown. I worked so far under the radar, it wasn't funny, that I didn't want anyone to know what I was doing because I didn't want the attention that I get today because I couldn't handle it back then. I wasn't ready for it. Now that I'm a lot older, I'm turning 40, I'm a lot more mature in my approach on how I do things, so I'm more ready for it than I was back then. People who want to get into the paranormal field solely to get famous, I think it's quite sad, to be honest with you, and I'll probably get some hate mail out of this. I don't really care. I said I'm a big guy. That you want to get into the field because you want to do the right thing for somebody. You want to actually go out and help a family that is going through events that they cannot explain. You don't go into it because you saw a TV show. Yeah, right. I mean, that's just wrong. You don't become a demonologist because you saw it on TV. You don't want to be on a paranormal investigator because you saw it on TV. You want to do it because you want to do it. You want to contribute to the wider paranormal family. There are so many groups out there that just struggle every day, who work so friggin' hard to do the right thing and to help people, and they don't want the attention. They don't want, and those are the groups that I try and get on my show. And highlight what they do, because I think what they do is amazing. You know what I mean? I have a lot of authors who come on my show, a lot of people who produce documentaries, a lot of people who contribute to the wider. So I'm not that interested in interviewing someone who just because they got a TV show means nothing to me. I have my own show. I don't think it's anything special, but I'm more interested in the people who contributed something special to the field, like the Booth brothers, who can make these amazing documentaries. People like Travis Short, who did the Mothman Chronicles. He's coming on my show today. You got people like L.A. Mazzulli, who wrote wonderful books. Nick Redfern, you know, Men in Black. These are all things to me are incredible, because the amount of work and effort it takes to produce these things. When you host a TV show, in my view, is you have a production crew who does everything for you. You have everything done for you. You get fed. I mean, my show is done with me. My show is done with me and a mate, and that's it. We don't have a production crew following us around. We do it all ourselves. We edit it. We put the music together. We do everything ourselves. We spend hours upon hours upon hours. It takes us 3 months to produce one episode. Not 6 weeks to produce 12, because we have to do it ourselves and we all got lives to live. So I don't care about big names in that sense. I care about the people who have contributed lifelong work. Like there's this guy called, what's his name? This Australian guy, Gary Opitt. He has spent 40, and the people don't know about him. He spent 40 years researching cryptozoology in Australia. 40 years. And no one knew about him until I got him on my show, because he wrote two books. He's just an amazing gentleman. He's an elderly gentleman, but the knowledge is just incredible. These are the people that make a difference in the paranormal field. It's the small groups who struggle. It's the small groups who put everything they have into it, who can't afford to do it, yet still go to these people's places to try and help. I'm very passionate about the paranormal, mate. You know that. I'm very passionate about people who put the effort in.
And we've had some.
I'm not passionate about people who try hard.
We've had some interesting conversations, and you've been threatening to have me on your TV show, which would be very exciting for me.
Yes,
to work together.
Yes, because you can see the things that I can't.
Yep,
you know what
you
I mean.
Have a good time with that.
I mean. I'm gonna have a ball with you, mate. Don't worry about that.
Hey, it wouldn't be right to have a show about the paranormal with someone as experienced as you without at least one good ghost story. So what's the strangest thing that you've ever run across?
Okay. Yes, I do have plenty of them. There's a couple of funny ones. Look, I'm the sort of guy that, if I do get a start, I do jump. I'm not one of these guys that I won't go screaming out of a building, but I have been startled a few times where, you know, it's like change your underpants time. So, I mean, everyone goes through it. Not that I physically had to do that. I'm just using it as content. basically what happened was years ago, I was doing an old pub in Napier in New Zealand, because I do travel between the two countries quite a bit. I was bored, man. I was so bored out of my skull. And, hey, look, I've driven 6 hours to get to this place for one night, and I was tired, and we had the team, we had all the equipment set up, and there's this big claims of this paranormal stuff at this pub. We got called in to do it. Anyway, this was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going, oh, I'm so tired. Anyway, I thought, oh, look, I don't usually provoke, but I had enough. There was nothing, you know, and so I started provoking. I started really getting stuck into this so-called entity, and I'm calling it all. This is so to speak. You know, I'm driven 6 hours to come and experience you tonight. You're not doing anything. You're being wuss and everything. And I was just like in a bad mood. And anyway, next minute, no, I'm leaning up against the wall. I double over. Someone felt like someone had punched me right in the stomach. And as I went over and hit the deck, and I hit the deck hard, my back's literally on fire. Anyway, I'm trying to, because I can't reach my back because I've got broad shoulders. I'm reaching around trying to go, like this. So the other team member started ripping my clothes off, and I'm just my shirt. That's it, you know, there's nothing really to see anyway. So they start ripping my shirt off, and on my back, literally all down the side of my face, my back, leaning all the way down my back, is these 7 scratches. And wow, they were welts, and they were starting to bleed. There's no way I could have done it myself, because I can't reach around my back. There was no one. There's 2 people sitting next to me, two lovely ladies, but they were my friends, and they were just sitting there. But the funny thing is, we just put the video camera down when this happened, but my mate was taking quick, with his camera, taking shots, rapid photos. And we actually got the process of me hitting the deck and then taking the shirt off, and you actually go to Ghost Hunters Australia's website, you look up scratched and bashed. I literally was. I had these big scratches and welts leading all the way down my back. I ticked whatever was there off, because it did not like me once. So it left everyone else alone but me.
Right.
And literally, it took me out of the investigation for about 20 minutes because I got flashes of a very angry individual. You know what I mean? Oh, look, as soon as I was hit, that's it. I was somewhere else. And so I ended up leaving the investigation for 20 minutes. Everyone by that stage had gone downstairs. I went, right, no, bugger this. I can't just find it. So I went back up upstairs, and I ended up sleeping in that room to see if it happened again that night. No one else. Everyone stayed awake all night, was downstairs, because they weren't going to go back upstairs up what happened to me. But, you know, being a mad Aussie, I was the only Aussie there, I went back upstairs, and I thought, no, if you're going to, let's go for round two. Because I want to know whether it was just a one-off incident or it was something that was going to repeat itself. It was only a one-off incident, but I think that was something that really it startled me. I'd never been this. Look, mate, I've been pushed downstairs. I've broken bones. I've hurt myself countless times. I carry a first aid kit that I probably go through once a month. It's not because I'm accident prone or anything like that, because I tend to draw it out, and I'm a bit of a magnet when it comes to it. And that's because I think that's the more, because it knows what I know. I know what's there, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I think it, sometimes it doesn't want to be known it's there. So, and that's why I sort of, it's funny in some ways.
It's actually one of the reasons that I work remotely, because I had an incident like that where I was knocked against the wall and choked. And I was like, oh, this is dumb. I am not going to do this if I can avoid it. So,
look, there's plenty of incidents out there that have happened to people. It's like, people get held down at night with, you know, it could be sleep paralysis or it could be the old, you know, old Hague syndrome or whatever. Mate, there's countless stories that people have given around events that happen in the paranormal, and I guess it's our jobs as investigators is to go out there and try to find the answers to people's questions. And that's why I look at the end of the day. You've got to be happy with, you've got to know within yourself that you're doing the right thing for your clients.
Right.
That's why I look at it. Simple as that. Do the right thing.
Right, do the right thing, and you learned a little bit more, so the next time you have a little bit more information to work with.
That's right, and use a thicker shirt.
Body armor, yeah.
Proxy glove, yeah. I'll slow them up. Have a go now.
Yeah, people, I remember one of the programs here, one of the better-known ones, there was an episode where the lead investigator said, oh, I've never heard of anybody getting hurt by a ghost. And I just sat there going, what? Then you haven't done anything. That's, you know, people don't realize the dangers involved both in being in old buildings in the dark. You know, there are physical dangers, but the other dangers that there are in terms of actually being hit, pushed, scratched, bitten by things you can't see.
And that's what also just brings up a good point. Sorry to cut you off there for a second, mate, but I got an email. I find this quite interesting. I got an email a little while ago from this lady who went on a ghost tour, and she brought this thing home with her, and she contacted the tour operator, and the tour operator basically in a nutshell threatened to sue her because she was damaging his business, but all she wanted to know, what could she do to remove it? And this tour operator got very defensive, very angry with her, sending threatening emails and all the rest of it. Yeah, and you don't do that. I mean, you don't. I mean, this is the thing. Sometimes I think these tours can also be a bit of a problem, but, you know, you've got to go in there with a grain of salt. You know, a lot of it's theatrics as well, but if they're to put on a show, that's what they get paid for. But so when I get the phone call saying, hey, listen, I picked up something on tour, it's my job then is to work out how we're going to remove this or how. And I can't remove everything. You know, I really can't. So then so I call on people who have the knowledge and experience to do it. So I'm the first person, even though I've been in the field for 20-odd years and I'm well known for what I do, I will still use someone whose skill set is different to get the job done. And I think that's where a lot of people fall down is they try and take it on themselves. Don't. Get out there. Find other people within the field. Find other answers to other questions because, honestly, it will make you a better investigator and it will make you more sort of better. Overall, and you'll get on with people, and it will just be harmonious 90% of the time. Yeah, so that's my view anyway.
Well, and
I'm full of you.
Very much in agreement with mine, for sure. So I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. You want
I'll give myself a plug. if they want to go to I don't care. I can be bought. If they go to www.brad-scott.com, the dash, not the underscore, but the hyphen, the dash. So it's brad-scott.com. They can go to Naked Zombie Paranormal Radio and hear the show there. Or there's a contact link there that they can contact me via if they want to come on the show or whatever. I've also got Ghost Hunters Australia. If they go to www.ghosthuntersaustralia.com, that's one word, you can see the TV series and everything's on there. I keep the two things pretty separate. But, I mean, they can just go to the contacts page, and I actually do have a contact phone number as well that people can contact me from overseas, which is +61 731 030566. So if they want to speak to me directly, they can, because it's usually on 24 hours a day, and I've been known to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to answer it, and it really upsets my wife. So, and if there's any famous radio people out there who want to offer me a job, I'm always willing to take on more work, because I don't do anything else except it's because I have no talent in anything else except entertain, I guess. That's sad, eh? That's really sad. Do you think I'd be good at mechanics or something?
I don't know if it's sad or not, but it's certainly it's certainly your gift. So I want to thank you so much for being on with us tonight. This has been great fun, and as the saying goes, we have to do this again because we always have so much to talk about. We have such a good time.
Thank you all your listeners too for tuning in and having listened to me yabber on for nearly an hour. Hello to all the Americans out there, and thank you for taking the time to listen to me waffle on from Australia. So, and thank you, Dave. You're a trooper as always, mate. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's always fun being with you, Brad. So I want to give everybody my information so you can find me. You can get more information about my work at househealing.com, househealing.com. Or email me at david@househealing.com. You can also find me on Facebook as David Franklin Farkas. And if you'd like to keep in touch during the course of this next couple of weeks as I'm recovering from the surgery, probably the best place to do that would be on my Facebook page so that we can just keep in touch because I'll be posting things on Facebook and Twitter. I want to thank everybody also for all the healing and good wishes that are already coming in, even though I haven't even been in surgery yet at the time of this recording. So I really feel supported, and I thank everybody. So next week, our guest is Diane Brandon, and she is an internationally known expert on intuition. And she's another one of my Facebook friends where, you know, I don't even remember how we connected, but she posts things and people respond to them. And we've had a number of wonderful conversations, and I really find her perspective very interesting. So next week, our guest will be Diane Brandon. So one of the things that has been fascinating to me with this program is just learning so much from so many people like Brad Scott, like Diane, like all my other guests. And I really hope that you're getting that experience as well. For me, I'm really happy that I can do this at all. Like Brad, this is just great fun. I just want to say thank you to everybody, and we will see you next week. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.